I would say that gentleman announcer is spot on. He's right. It's time for Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. It is really good to be with you this morning. Now, I can tell you what I'm going to begin with this morning, but I'm going to give you fair warning. I just read this. So this is my first time. It's not like I've had a chance to become fluent in this study and really study the ins and outs, but it just instantly grabbed my attention. So let me kind of preface it by saying this right here. There's nobody that you know or that you love and care about that you want to develop colon cancer, right? Okay, you're probably going to ask me, where did I get this information? You think I probably got it from an internet article. I did not. I remember over 20 years ago, there was a book one day for sale. I was at a seminar. And I remember looking at the book, and I thought, wow, man, this is like a really good book. And the price of the book at the time was like $125. And actually, it wasn't 20 years ago. It might have been more like, maybe it was 25 years ago. I can't remember. Anyway, I know it was after Y2K. And so, the title of the book, I have it here in front of me, is called Clinical Purification. It says a complete treatment and reference manual. And the author of the book, her name is Gina Nick. She's a PhD, also an ND, that stands for a naturopathic doctor. And she has, like in the subtitle on the front of the page, it says, an ancestral approach to preventing and reversing the disease process, validated by modern science. And so it might have been about a year ago, for some reason that book came into my mind. I thought, man, I wonder if I could find that book. I really remember, and you know, I missed my opportunity. I didn't act on it. Yes, $125 25 years ago was probably like a lot of money. And I thought to myself, you know, am I really going to use that information? Do I need it that badly? And of course the answer is yes, but I didn't buy it. And so about a year ago, I remember searching for it, but I couldn't remember the title. And the title's so simple. It's called Clinical Purification. So anyway, I remembered there was a monograph, which means they're doing a scientific look into a substance called Spanish black radish. And I remember flipping open that monograph, but I couldn't remember anything other than I was impressed that Dr. Nick had all these studies on this plant or herb or natural compound called Spanish black radish. And I kept looking for it, but I never found it. I even looked up, so desperate, I was saying, what books contain information about Spanish black radish? And I remember I bought one, and it's just like, it's one of those jokes. When I say a joke, I don't mean that in a bad way. But it's one of those books, they don't let you take a look inside of it on Amazon. You don't get to read the table of contents, so you just kind of take it on face value that if you spend $15, it's going to be worthwhile. And it's just like, dribble, it's just not enough information. Yes, it might be a person's emotions writing and trying to tell a story. But you know what? I like details. And I think it's okay if I'm that way. I like knowing how things work. And so the other day, I found a used copy of this on Amazon. I just kind of came across it. This was like last Saturday because I attended a seminar where they had a picture of this book as a reference. I said, oh, that's it. So I said, bingo. So I looked it up and it was like $2.38. And I said, what? That's got to be a typo. So I looked it up, and it said it was a used copy. I'm going, that's fine by me. I'll take a used copy of a book. Who cares if it's got a little, you know, dent or ding, or the corners of the book are a little bit damaged, you know, from dropping it. Not that I've ever dropped the same book multiple times before in the parking lot, right in front of my office. I'm actually looking at one book. I don't think I've... It's been an accident, but it slid off to the side by the door on the passenger side. So when I open the door, it comes out. So, yes, it looks like I've pretty much beat the book up. But it's the information inside that I'm after. So anyway, I'm saying all that to say this right here. I know this is technical information, but I really want you to hear this. And I want you to walk away from this with a great takeaway. So let me just preface it by saying this right here. I don't want anybody out there developing what are called polyps. Okay? You know those are precancerous. I don't want anybody developing colon cancer or colorectal cancer or rectal cancer. So I came across this, and this is a monograph on a plant called buckwheat. And this is chapter 19.5, third, 19.5.3, whatever that means. It's on page 201. But anyway, they're saying there's a compound, and it's all about cancer. Okay, it caught my attention. And the other thing, I like the way that Dr. Nick has organized this book right here. Now, you got to do your own study. I mean, I have to do my own, investigation because I want to be curious about this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this to you. And I realize this is technical, so please forgive me, but I want to give credit to Dr. Nick. She goes on to write that rutin and quercetin are found in large amounts in buckwheat. Okay? You get some in onions and apples also. But what they're saying is there's great evidence that these are very chemoprotective molecules or substances. And of course, when we bring this up, would you agree with me that God or Jesus is the one that designed all these things? How did they do that? I don't know, but I stand in awe of it. And so there was a researcher, his name is Wargovich. Okay, I've got the reference, page 361. I'm not going to look it up for you. But what he did was, Wargovich, as a researcher, he wanted to find out what would happen to people. Or, in this study, they gave rats. They gave them a drug called, I wrote it down here. The drug is called azoxymethane, A-Z-O-X-Y, and then the word methane. Now, you're probably thinking, well, why would they inject this drug, azoxymethane, into the lining of the colon of a rat in a lab for a lab test? Excuse me. It's because it's a well-studied carcinogenic chemical compound. That means if they inject it, you're going to get cancer. Are you with me on that? Okay. So I'm just looking at the, and so here's the term they used right here. And I admit, I had to look this up, but man, what a gift. I'm so thankful I've got just like the cheapest Apple iPhone where I can look up stuff and it can spit out information faster than I can read it. But he says, they use that chemical and they wanted to find out what is the ability of rutin from buckwheat or quercetin from buckwheat. What is the ability to prevent what's called aberrant crypt foci development? Okay, you don't know what that means, but when they say aberrant crypt foci development, these are tiny little clusters of abnormal cells in the lining of the colon and the rectum, and these are the earliest precursors to developing colorectal cancer. All right, you tell me, would you rather wait till you have a million polyps in your colon and have a raging case of metastatic colon cancer? Would you rather just wait and treat it with more drugs or chemicals? Or would you rather head the thing off at the pass? Okay, these aberrant crypt foci, you know, these little bitty tiny clusters of abnormal cells, this is what occurs right before you get polyps. So maybe you don't have polyps, but maybe you know a friend at church, or you have a cousin, or you have a relative, a grandfather, or a father, and they have been tested for colon polyps. Well, that's why I'm talking about this. I just love the idea of giving solutions that actually could be very helpful. Now, you don't have to listen to me. If you want to go and call the top gastroenterologist and say, what do you recommend I do to prevent colon cancer? And I don't know what you're going to hear, but maybe there's nothing you can do. It's genetic. You might hear something like that. Or why don't you just wait until you had developed full-blown colon cancer? Then we can just remove the colon. I know they wouldn't say that. I know that. But I'm just kind of giving you like a drastic, you know, far to the right analogy here. Okay, here's what they did. And I've got the chart right in front of me from the study. They're saying the chart is based on the idea, what is the effect of rutin or quercetin on these chemotherapy, chemocarcinogenic chemical induced, that's what I meant to say, I'm so sorry, azoxymethane. They put the chemical that causes colon cancer into the rat's colon. You with me on that? And what they did was they just chose a dose. And so there's no dose of rutin or quercetin. Well, guess what happened to those aberrant, you know, cells in the colon that were clumping, the tiny clusters of cells that are going to turn into cancer? Well, 100% of them grew into cancer. 100%. That means if they had 200 rats, all 200 rats developed colon cancer by the application or the injection, or they applied the azoxymethane, a known carcinogenic chemical. Okay, you're with me on that, right? And then they gave them a little bit of rutin and a little bit of quercetin. And I'm thinking, okay, when they gave them a little bit of quercetin, a little bit of rutin, all of a sudden now, only 61% of the rats developed the colon cancer. And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? Well, what happens if they gave a little bit more quercetin? And I think, what is the number I'm looking? I can't find the number here. I'm so sorry. But they doubled the dose of the rutin, and all of a sudden, only 31 out of 100 rats developed colon cancer. And of course, the question I have in my mind is, like anything else, there's a Goldilocks just right dose where it has a very therapeutic benefit. But if you will you just remember that? Okay, just remember the rutin or quercetin. It might actually help stop the process of these aberrant crypt foci cells from turning into polyps, and then the polyps turning into cancer. Okay. Was that too much information? Probably was. Anyway, you know I'm telling you this because I want to help you. I want to help myself too. What do you think I did this morning when I went to the office to do just a few simple things before I came to the radio station? Well, what'd I do? I took some buckwheat. Are you kidding? I'm an easy sell on this stuff. You suggest to me that something might be beneficial and help get me to a better place, or maybe keep something in good working order, I'm on board. You don't have to, like, twist my arm. You know, there's some people, you couldn't convince them if you wanted to. I don't worry about that stuff. It's their responsibility to help themselves. I can't do it all. All right. This is my next article I came across, and I really did like this one. I liked it a lot. And I think there's information in here that's going to benefit literally 100% of everyone listening. Well, what if you're 2 days old? Well, you may have to process for a few years before you really pick up on what I'm saying. It takes a while to learn a language. Anyway, I'm just joking about that. By the way, let me give out the number of the radio station. The phone line to get into the radio program, Health Essentials, is 903-589-8507. That is 903-589-8507. And so, this is so simple. It costs nothing. Well, I'm sorry. It may cost something. You may have to get in your car and drive there. But here's this article right here. Its title is sort of shortened in the idea of, here it is, I'm going to give it to you. Natural environment lowers cortisol level. And you're probably thinking, what is cortisol? Well, you have a gland that sits on top of your kidneys. It's called the adrenal gland. And lo and behold, the adrenal gland produces a hormone or a chemical called cortisol. And what if your adrenal glands produce just the right amount? Not too little, not too much, but just the right amount that you need. Okay? And it releases it exactly at the right time that you need it, not at the wrong time. Well, the net result is you're in a really good mood, you have really good energy, and you have stamina. And you're probably also, if I can kind of add on my own take on this, you're in the Goldilocks just right position to heal. That's what happens if your adrenal glands produce just the right amount of cortisol. And so you're going to ask me the question, well, what happens, Dr. Morgan, if your cortisol levels are really not that great? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, what if your adrenal glands start pumping out a whole lot more than what you need? I'm not going to talk about that today, what it would be to produce too little, but let me just kind of, I gave you the Goldilocks just right. You feel really good emotionally. Your mind is really clear. You tell yourself, do I like the way that I feel right now? And you say, yes, I do. I really like the way I feel, and I like the what I'm thinking about. And I like all these things that I'm working on. And I like what I'm reading and studying. And isn't life great? And my journey is so amazing. I can't wait to do it some more today. But you also have stamina. You have strength. So let me tell you, what could a person expect? If, for example, I think this is a pretty good example. This is probably the majority of Americans right now, maybe even people in the world, considering the condition of the world. What if you got chronically high levels of cortisol, meaning you got a whole lot more than what you should really have for ideal health, and this keeps going on where it's a long-term deal? Well, cortisol in excess is going to lead to weight gain. Are you with me on that? It's going to be, to a large degree, it's going to play a role in increasing your blood pressure. Do you want to have high blood pressure? Well, no. I don't know if you've heard this before, but chronic high blood pressure that's unresolved, there is a strong correlation to leading toward the development of dementia or Alzheimer's, or if you want to say, cognitive decline. I ask myself those questions. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken, but you know, I ask myself, did I actually remember that well? How am I, you know, because if I forget something, I'm going, wow. And which I know that's normal. When you read something for the first time, you can't just really retain all of it. But if your blood pressure is too high and you've got weight gain and you got all these blood sugar problems, like diabetes, if you have difficulty concentrating, if you're fatigued and exhausted all the time, another couple of physical signs would be if a person bruises really easy, and I don't know why. I mean, that would be something to think about. When I say high cortisol, I could also just very easily say it's an adrenal issue or the adrenal glands, and they sit right on top of the kidneys, like two small pyramids. Well, what if your skin is very, very thin? Okay, what if you're really, really weak? Well, that's a pretty good indication the adrenals aren't working so hot. Another one that's like really easy to look at is if your sleep schedule or your ideal sleep pattern is not there. What if you can't go to sleep easily? What if you wake up frequently? What if you get up and go to the bathroom a million times a night? What if you wake up and you're like totally exhausted? See, that'd be another way of saying it. And this is a component. I'm not trying to say it's the biggest deal. In some people, it just may be the liver's not working right or the liver's in disrepair. But if you sleep for a long enough period of time and you wake up and you go, oh, great, I just slept 12 hours and I'm utterly exhausted. Somebody help me. Another one that you might see. Did I already mention high blood sugar? I said diabetes. So if your blood sugar is higher in the morning, okay, there may be an issue with the adrenal glands and too much cortisol. But a lot of times, and I think I see this on women more so than I do men, so I'm not trying to pick on women here, but when you have stretch marks and they're purple, you know, if the skin is a certain color, and I realize on darker skin that's like almost impossible to see. You can on tan skin or brown skin, not so much on black. But if you're really, really white and you have stretch marks and they have this purple color to them or purplish, well, that'd be a pretty good sign that the adrenals are not working right. Okay, here's the article. Quercetin, no, that's not what I wanted. Let me come back. I've only got two articles this morning. The abstract says something along the effects of, okay, if you're reading this article, do you suffer from stress? Well, the solution is to go into nature. And they're showing that the longer that you stay in a natural and green environment, what does that mean? That's a park, a playground, that's trees, That's the front yard. That's the backyard. That's going somewhere where there's trees and just soaking it up. So if you want your cortisol levels to come down lower, I promise you, you do. Psychologists wrote this study, or did this study, from the University of Michigan. Hey, if it comes from the University of Michigan, you've got to trust it, right? It was published in a journal called The Frontiers in Psychology. Okay, here's the study right here. The researchers were able to find 36 test subjects who lived in a city. That was the only criteria. If they lived in the country, they were totally excluded from this because people in the country, not all of them, but I would say the vast majority, they just love being outside. And so here's what they asked them to do. I mean, this is like so simple. You live in the city. They took 36 people and they said, would you be willing to spend 10 minutes three times a week in a natural environment for 2 months? How simple is that? And so the test subjects were not allowed to exercise intensively. And why would that be? Because if you're sprinting or doing hard calisthenics or running, that's going to increase your cortisol. You with me on that? Okay, they also said this right here. Now this, I'm probably going to make a joke out of it, but it's really true. Okay, maybe I'm being sarcastic. But anyway, they said being active on a cell phone or reading on your cell phone was not allowed in the study. Maybe that's why they could only find 36 people in the entire city to do the study, because they wouldn't let them use their phones. Do you ever just watch people walking and they can't do it without their cell phone now? They can't. And so the researchers took a little saliva before and after their stay in nature. And maybe a side point would be, if you want to very accurately determine what your cortisol levels are, then the most accurate way to do that is not through a blood test. If you want to measure the stress hormone cortisol, you might want to do a saliva test. And the thing of it is, you can do those in your own home. All it does is require you to spit into a test tube at a certain time, label the time, and mail it back to the laboratory, and they will tell you what your body is producing. So if your body is all out of whack and you're having a hard time sleeping and you don't know when to go to bed and when to wake up, well, then maybe we need to check your cortisol. And so they said the time of the day was the most important determinant on cortisol levels. And, of course, that makes sense, because cortisol levels, they get lower and lower as the day goes on. So the later in the day, your cortisol levels are supposed to drop by a percentage, you know, every hour of the day. So you start out in the morning, they are the highest levels. That's why you can be alert and happy and awake and productive. And so here's what they've discovered. The average person, cortisol levels drop around 12% an hour, okay? Now listen to this. This is pretty spectacular. If the test subjects stayed in nature, that just means out in the trees and the woods, the cortisol level dropped even faster. Then, those that were outside in nature, the cortisol levels dropped by 21% an hour. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine how a human body could begin to regenerate, rejuvenate, and heal if we could just get the high level of cortisol to drop? Now, I know this is disappointing to some people because it doesn't require an ultra-expensive drug. No. All you got to do is be outside. Boy, isn't it amazing how good our Heavenly Father is to us? He gave us trees. I like trees. Yeah, they dump pollen, but they filter the air to make our air clean for us. Okay, so it says for people with very little time who want to achieve the greatest possible decrease in cortisol during the shortest exposure to nature, the researchers calculated the optimal dose of exposure to nature, and that was 20 to 30 minutes. Is that really too much to ask? I've got the graph right here where it shows the optimal length of time in order to get cortisol to drop down a bunch. 20, 30 minutes. I'm reading what Dr. Hunter said in the press release. It provides the first estimates of how nature experiences impact stress levels in the context of normal daily life. It breaks new ground by addressing some of the complexities of measuring an effective natural dose. Okay, I get all that. Just go outside. You don't like the way that you feel? Are you nervous? Are you jittery? Are you anxious? Are you depressed? Is your mind all clogged up with a million thoughts? Go outside. That's one of the reasons that going fishing is like one of the greatest activities of all time. That's almost all I can think about right now. How can I get over to Flat Creek? Actually, that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna call somebody on the phone and say, you want to go with me? Man, when you're out there, water is amazing. Yes, you might have to see the occasional alligator. You might wonder what it is that flops around the water that makes a huge noise. You know, it's exciting being in a kayak because you're right there on the water. Anyway, here's two more articles right here. I'm not going to read them at all, but listen to this right here. Here's a study. I didn't copy it. I should have. It says if you live in a green neighborhood, it lowers breast cancer risk. I can't even make this stuff up. Okay, if you want to call me on the radio, 903-589-8507. If you call this time, I will push the button and I'll get you right in. That way you can ask me your question, or if you want to tell me something, it's important to you. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, okay? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I think you cut your phone off. Uh-oh. She cut her phone off. Anyway, call back. Here she's trying again. Let's try this. Okay, I think we can do it this time.
I had dropped call. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
It's early on Saturday morning.
I know. You just did it again. Okay, so third time's a charm, right? Well, call back. 903-589-8507. Don't push any buttons. Don't.
I'm going to stand right next to the router. And
yes. Don't hold your mouth the wrong way. Hold your mouth just right.
Oh, gosh. Well, I got up out of bed. Maybe that'll help.
You know what? That's the ultimate blessing. You got out of bed today.
That's true. My son called me the other day and said that he's got gout.
Yeah.
He is 50, probably about 53.
Yeah.
Give me some homeopathic things I can share with him.
Well, number one, his kidneys are all completely clogged up with a bunch of gunk and debris. They're just really dirty, and they got gunk in them.
Okay.
So if he drinks sweet tea, you know, you go to a restaurant, you order tea, and it's sweet, he's just asking for gout to develop because that has the highest natural substance containing uric acid.
All right. I'm doubting that it's tea. My guess is that it would probably be energy drinks. He's not
okay.
Down
well, then,
south here. He's up north.
Okay, so bingo, we just solved one mystery. So that would be a component. And actually, the hardest thing on the kidneys in the universe is going to be energy drink. There's nothing that's going to be harder. This may be a slight side note, but they did studies on the enamel of teeth, and they wanted to find out what is the one substance that rips the enamel or strips it right off the teeth. Would you care to guess what the name of the energy drink was that would strip the enamel off the teeth faster than any other compound known to mortal man?
You talking about name brand or the...
Yeah, it was Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Yeah.
That's the only one I know, but I don't drink that one.
Well, I know of another one just because I've heard people talk about them called Monster Energy. Would you believe me if I told you I have never consumed an energy drink?
I haven't either.
I don't think I'm missing out. Anyway, so that's going to be one component. Number next, is there any chance he has diabetes because one of the biggest drivers of all time is insulin resistance? So
he's overweight.
Okay, well, he's got insulin resistance in. So what he has to do is he needs to switch to a diet of probably meat and vegetables and berries if he wants to get out of that. And he just has to...
Of course, they're telling him to cut back on the meat.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a good suggestion. I don't really know how much he's eating because you're talking to me on the phone. It may be that he killed a buffalo last night with his bow and arrow and he's had like 20 ribs. I'm just joking about that.
Yeah, I know you are. You've got a weird sense of humor. Always have had. My guess is that he sits. He works from home. He is a computer analyst.
Yeah.
And he is on that computer, and he doesn't move a lot, and probably does not eat well. He's single. So all of those are against him.
Yeah, and all those things are catching up with him. So what's happening is he's developing greater insulin resistance. The solution is to eat less, clean up your diet, and exercise more. So if he doesn't get his body moving, there's probably no way out of it. Now, probably the greatest remedy of all time, and this may be what you wanted me to lead with, it's called celery seed extract.
Okay.
But my target is always, what can we do to clean up the liver and the kidneys? We got to detoxify the body. Most likely, that's what his body's saying is, he's saying, my system is so inflamed, I've got so much gunky debris in my liver and kidneys, they can't filter uric acid out anymore. My diet is causing me to develop diabetes, so... there you go.
Okay. Well, all I can do is tell him. He's an adult. But
you're his mother. You probably have the greatest influence upon him of any mortal on the planet. Just tell him, say, son, I expect you to change your ways and make your mama proud.
I want you to live long enough to take care of me.
You know what? What's wrong with that? Say, son,
nothing.
Clean it up, get it together, get your act together, because you might need to take care of me when I'm 95.
That's right. That's exactly how long I plan to live.
And you know what? That's the way it should be. Children should take care of their parents, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Well, they will. They will. That's not a problem. I just want him to live long enough and have a healthy life.
So get him, instead of eating sugar, he can just eat cherries. Cherries are so, so good for helping to reverse this.
I knew that. The dark cherries.
Yeah,
dark
exactly.
Cherries.
And they're easy. Yeah. Well, even the red cherries work. They do.
Okay.
So even if he went to the store and they didn't have, like, the dark sour cherries, if he got just the regular cherries. But he's up north, so, I mean, he's close to Michigan, isn't he?
He's West Virginia. Yeah, he's closer to Michigan than we are down here.
I don't even know. Do they grow cherries in West Virginia?
I planted a cherry tree at my farm this last year, so we'll see.
All right, that sounds like a winner.
2 years. Yeah, 2 years ago. And I will tell you, I planted that because of what I heard you say on the radio.
There you go. Good
job. So I don't know. Hopefully I'm going to get some off of it this summer.
Okay, good deal.
So we'll see. Hey, thanks a lot.
All right.
Appreciate you.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, there's the phone line once again open at 903-589-8507. You know, there's another principle here. If a person had gout, what is to prevent them from doing their own study, just out of curiosity? Is there any way that I can take care of myself? Yeah, they have plenty of drugs you can use, like allopurinol. But does that really correct the underlying root cause of the problem? Does that really get you back to, like, a great place? Well, you know what? When you're single... your health may be one of the greatest blessings from God that you have, because that's your ticket to earning a living and going to work. I mean, in the world that we're living in, I hear so many stories, but it's expensive to live. There's a lot of people, I think I question myself, how do they do it? And then when I see them whipping out the credit card, paying for stuff, I think, oh boy, that's how they do it. All right. This is the other one that I was going to share with you in case nobody wants to call. Let me see if I can get organized here. Okay. All right, now I'm back in order again. What I did was I flipped one of my sheets of paper over so I could take notes. I like the idea of taking notes. Now, I wish my cursive handwriting was much better. Now, would you believe me if I told you? They have done studies at the university level where they have the students for the class, whatever the class they're taking. Let me just say it's a chemistry class, like organic chemistry. If the student goes back to their dorm room or their apartment and they type out their notes on the computer and they make it look beautiful and organized, everything is very precise, or instead of typing it on the computer, the other option would be you can write it down, but you could print, just use standard print or lettering. And then the option number three would be using cursive handwriting. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm wanting to improve my cursive handwriting. Which one of those students is going to have the greatest recall and the greatest memory? Or what I should say is, who's going to have the best performance when they're actually given a test where they can find out what is their fluency in organic chemistry? Well, I think you know the answer. It's those that do cursive handwriting. I find that so interesting. They just outperform all the other ones. So why would you want to print them out on the computer, even though that is legible? But if you write in cursive, there's something about that brain connection from your hand to your brain that seems to improve the memory. And I think you've heard me say this many times before, that people that write daily in cursive, and it could be just as simple as, okay, it's Friday evening, I want to write down on a note card or a sheet of paper, what do I want to accomplish on Saturday? Or I have a project I'm working on, or there's some goals, or there's some things that I need. Maybe you need to write down that you need water and toilet paper. And so if you do that in cursive the night before, oh man, writing in cursive is one of the ways that you can predict who is going to maintain their mental acuity and to be able to keep their brain in good working order as they age. I mean, you know, aging's real. I can't blame it on everything, but you can probably say as you age, everything becomes harder. All right. Are you with me on that? The phone number here at the station, and there is a phone line open if you want to call, but if nobody calls, I'm going to share another article with you that I find very, very interesting. 903-589-8507. Well, good morning and welcome to the program. Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, thanks for your phone call.
Okay, yes, sir. I have a quick question for you, sir. And that is, first of all, you know, I've been kind of listening and hearing about the negative side effects of Viagra. And
what are the negative side effects?
I heard that it could cause like a heart attack and maybe some other unpleasant feelings and what have you. What do you recommend, Dr. Morgan, for a man close to 60 who is having problems with erections and so forth? What would be a natural solution or just some generic recommendations?
Okay. Sorry, I wish I could multitask better. What I want to do is I want to look up Viagra side effects real quick.
Yes, sir.
My phone's so slow. Goodness, come on.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to do that. Let me just talk. So let me tell you what I believe is the real root cause of the problem or the issue, okay?
Yes, sir.
And this might be the very first time that you've heard this, so if it's the first time, just give yourself grace on it. Don't worry about having to have everything mastered. I mean, I've just forgotten so many things, but I'm trying to learn as much new stuff as I can. It just takes time, and I just got to do a little bit every day, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you know that the ticket to having very high-quality erections or male function is... Actually, I've decided to start over. Let me do this over right here. Okay. You would agree with me that the ability of your circulatory system to carry very oxygen-rich blood with lots of nutrients, that would be of primary importance. So a person could have really, really good health if they could just have optimal blood flow, and in the blood it carried a lot of rich, high-quality oxygen. I'm sort of teasing a little bit about this, but you already know that oxygen is actually the most important essential element in the universe, right? I mean, how long can a person live without oxygen? Like, what, 2 or 3 minutes at the most? And then they're gone. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So we know that, but the circulatory system, the arteries, the veins, the capillary beds, this is your ticket to delivering all that good stuff. If it's your little toe, your big toe, your kneecap, your liver, or the male, you know, gonad area. And so that's the issue right here. Something has changed in the circulatory system where it doesn't efficiently deliver oxygen and blood flow and nutrients to that part of the world. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's two or three things we got to cover. Number one, that inner lining, the most intimate lining near where the blood is, on the lining of the capillaries, they have a term for it now. They call it the glycocalyx. Have you ever heard that term?
No, sir.
Well, now you've heard the term glycocalyx. Now, when that glycocalyx is super, super healthy and everything's in great working order, then guess what it does? It starts manufacturing and making a compound called nitric oxide. And if you read in textbooks, sometimes they skip the long name nitric oxide and they just write the letters N-O, like no. But that stands for nitric oxide. So a man's ability to make nitric oxide is paramount to him being able to function in the most excellent way. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So the drug Viagra, I'm going to say, if I don't remember this correctly, it doesn't matter, but I want to say in the early 1990s, that drug was being studied primarily as a blood pressure medication. And so while they were testing it in clinical trials, they started noticing other, you know, effects that men said, whoa, something else is happening to me besides just my blood pressure being lowered. So what they did was they rebranded the drug. I don't remember the original name, but all of a sudden it went from being one of the greatest blood pressure lowering drugs of all time to number two. They're saying, no, we're going to rebrand it and we're going to market it for a whole different person and that, or a reason. And that was to help improve the quality of a male erection. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what happens is when you take a drug called Viagra, it momentarily is going to boost your levels of nitric oxide production. It's just it's a big deal. And so you got to start asking the question, well, is there anything that I'm doing that's going to destroy my nitric oxide production? Well, yeah. One of the biggest ones, and I don't know if you've heard of this before, they've done studies and let me back up. Nitrates are how your body makes nitric oxide. So you got to have food that contains nitrates. And so one particular great source of nitrates might be beets. So I think that you can already kind of pick up and you can figure out the direction I'm going to head with this. If you want to increase your nitric oxide production, doesn't it make sense that you might want to put some beets in your diet? Or if it's not in the diet, I mean, now they have all these supplements, and guess what color they are? They're blood or beet red. That's because they contain beets and beet pigments, but that's a source of nitrates. So you can go to the store and you can buy all these beet powders. They even have beet chews. I've tried them before. They taste like Starburst candy. They're pretty much awesome. But they're not made of candy, though. They're just beets, and you just chew them up. So they're just giving you a concentrated source of nitrates, and that's going to come from beets. So here's what they've noticed. The conversion of nitrates into nitric oxide, it takes place in a person's mouth. I know this may sound bizarre what I'm telling you, but when you chew up beets or you drink a beet smoothie or you have beet juice, it's got to go through your mouth. And if it goes into the mouth, it's the bacteria, the good, beneficial, natural microbes that live in your mouth. They have total responsibility at that point of the juncture at converting the nitrates into nitric oxide. Are you with me on that?
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying you got to have a healthy mouth. And so what's the number one way we can destroy your nitric oxide production and make your blood pressure go up and cause erectile dysfunction? Just use mouthwash. That'll do it. So if a human being is using, and I hate to say the name Listerine, but it's just the one or Scope, something like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you use a mouthwash, what you're doing is you're completely destroying the ability of your body to make nitric oxide. Now, I know how men think, because I have men pose these questions all the time, and I say, well, I'm just real sorry to disappoint you, but you can't just fix it in one day by taking a pill. What we have to do is we have to restore the balance of the body. And so, number one, you got to eat foods that contain nitrates. And so when you have greens and when you eat beets or something of the equivalent, those are high in nitrates. That makes sense? But if you're putting like a toothpaste or a mouthwash or a rinse into your mouth all the time and you're totally screwing up the flora in your mouth and you're killing the good beneficial bacteria, that convert nitrates into nitric oxide, then you're not going to be able to make it. It's not going to work. And so another way of saying this is, anybody that uses artificially sweetened chewing gum, or have you ever heard of sucralose or aspartame, saccharin, Splenda, stuff like that?
Yes, sir.
You put that in your mouth, it's going to kill and destroy the good beneficial bacteria. It's going to cause the bad ones to grow in the body. It's not a good choice. And so improving the health of the oral microbes is of primary importance at doing this. So what you eat makes a huge difference. And so anything that we can do to restore the health of the lining of the capillary bed, now that is what's going to help improve what you're dealing with. Now what I want to do is I want to go on a side topic, but it's still related, okay? So if you asked me, if you said, Dr. Morgan, how often should a man have an erection in the morning? And let me just say it this way. I hope that this is really a family program. If I'm using the wrong terms, please forgive me. I don't mean to be that way. But when you wake up in the morning, for a man, he should have an erection. It's just a normal process. So when you have good, high-quality sleep at night, that is when the male body makes all the wonderful testosterone. And so testosterone does play a role in this, pretty important role. And so if a man says, I never wake up with an erection, then there's a problem. That is a serious problem. That may be one of the very first clues that there's a significant deterioration or decline or disease processes taking place. Or if you want to say there's inflammation in the circulatory system, yep. And so we've got to run straight toward that. So I think the goal, and I'm being reasonable, if I were to ask a man, how often do you have an erection? I mean, under the appropriate circumstances. You got that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
So he's talking to me about circulatory health or blood pressure, and I'd say, well, how often does this happen? He says, maybe once a week. Well, that's not good. Not good at all. The goal is you want the blood vessels and nitric oxide production to be so healthy and so efficient and so good that you could basically have an erection every single morning. I think I'm being reasonable. Now, if you don't want to do it that way, there's like a million drugs out there that a person could take. You can start giving yourself testosterone injections. But the problem with that is you're going to develop what's called hypogonadism. Every single man that ever takes all those injections, he's just telling his body, it's called negative feedback inhibition. When you start injecting massive amounts of testosterone into your, I'll just say, leg muscle or quadriceps or gluteus maximus, your body says, oh man, we got a boatload of testosterone. I guess there's no reason for the gonads to make anymore. And so they begin to downregulate. That's not in your best interest. You're losing your ability to make good, high-quality hormones. And so here's the categories you're looking at. How much do you exercise? You've got to have enough exercise to get enough blood flow to make all this stuff work right. If a person was like the woman that called earlier about her son that sits at a computer all day long, well, how much blood flow does he have sitting at a computer? Well, none. Well, the bare minimum. How about that? So you kind of get it that if a man wants to reverse this and improve the circulatory health, what is the number one predictor of all time through a lab test? It's going to determine how long a man is going to live and function at a high level. It's called VO2 max. All you're doing is, I don't know if you live in the Tyler area, but I think it's called Horizon Health, Dr. Martin's clinic over there. He's a medical doctor. Well, he was telling me last weekend, that's one of the greatest things of all time, and I agree with him. He can measure your VO2 max. And he was telling me that he could predict who's going to live and who's going to die based on the saturation of the percentage of oxygen that you can hold in your body. That's kind of what VO2 max is. And the thing of it is, if it's low, we got to run toward, what do we do to get it back in good working order again? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So there's several parameters. How physically fit are you? What is your diet like? Do you have insulin resistance? If a man was using mouthwash or artificial chewing gum, well, then you're asking to destroy your nitric oxide production. If your diet doesn't provide you enough nitrates, well, that's an easy one. It's called beets. Have you thought about visiting Schrute's beet farm?
No, I haven't.
I think it's in Pennsylvania, Scranton. And I think it's called Schrute's Beet Farm.
Hmm.
That's really just a joke.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay,
so what else you want to know?
Oh, no. What you've shared has been very helpful, and I've taken some notes, and I'm going to act accordingly.
Good. Let me give you one more bonus point. This is your bonus. Vitamin D has everything to do with nitric oxide production also. So they've done studies, and they've shown what happens if we point a man's bare back toward the sun. 20 minutes, you'll instantly have greater nitric oxide production. Here's your next bonus. Nasal breathing at night is huge for generating nitric oxide. If you're a mouth breather, it ain't going to happen. But if you breathe through your nose, inhale and exhale, that's how you retrain the body to produce more nitric oxide.
Mm. Okay.
I think only cavemen breathe through their mouths.
Yes, sir. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
All right. You're welcome, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. God bless. Right, goodbye.
Thank you, and God bless you also. All right. There's time for another phone call. Area code 903-589-8507. When is the best time to act? Well, the moment you see something's not working right, you better do it then. If you wait for 30 years and say, woe is me, I've been in misery for 30 years, well, you're going to have a pretty big hole to climb out of. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you.
I'm looking for information on how to lower blood pressure and inflammation. You just talked about inflammation.
Okay, how long has it been this way?
Oh, blood pressure 6 months or so.
Okay, how long has your body maybe been out of whack? Or when's the last time that you felt amazing and you felt like you were in great shape?
It's probably been years.
What do you mean by years? Like 2 years?
Four.
Okay, so here's the deal. We've got to figure out where is the blood pressure problem coming from. And so let me give you some ideas. If we took your blood pressure while you were laying down, like on the couch or on the side of the bed, and we let you rest for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, if I measured your blood pressure and your blood pressure was exactly 147 over the number 92, and your heart rate was, say, 72 beats a minute, I'd look at that first off and say, well, you know what, the 72 beats a minute, that's not bad. That's okay. But the lower number, which is called the diastolic at 92, that would instantly make me think that your kidneys were part of the problem. And one of the reasons why I'm saying that is the kidneys, that's probably 90% of blood pressure control. They produce all these hormones and chemicals to keep your blood pressure good, not too high, not too low. The upper number, which is the systolic, that's 147, that usually is a pretty good indication that your body might be overproducing a stress hormone called cortisol. Okay? So there's a very simple, straightforward blood test that can measure another parameter. It's called fasting insulin. Have you ever heard of insulin levels before?
Yes.
Have you ever had your insulin levels measured?
I don't remember.
Well, if you had your insulin levels measured, I think the optimal goal for a person that wants to have great blood pressure is the number 5 or below, like maybe 3, 4, or 5. If it's 4.7, I'd say you're doing great. But if your insulin levels come back, let's say 15, 16, 17, then that's going to cause a lot of your blood pressure problems, because when you start putting too much insulin into the circulatory system, it makes everything stiffen and tighten and constrict and become hard and rigid. It's probably one of the biggest factors for causing plaque and calcium to build up in the arteries. So you might want to prayerfully consider getting your insulin levels tested. So if you want to have that done, just call the nurse or the nurse practitioner or the medical doctor or the PA and request that test done. Another valuable marker that can really contribute is a substance called uric acid. And I would say the number 5 again is what I'm looking at. So if your uric acid levels are above 5, oh my goodness, the research shows you're going to have blood pressure problems. So we have to run toward and address that. sometimes uric acid goes up because you're either drinking too much tea or eating too much pork, or you're not physically fit, or you're eating more carbohydrates or sugars than what your body can handle. The next one that plays a role is hemoglobin A1C. If that one's above the number 5, that's going to contribute to blood pressure. So I think serum magnesium would be a good one. So I'd like your serum magnesium to be 2.4 or above if you don't want to have blood pressure problems. But you can test your kidney function. There's a test called $10 test. It's called a comprehensive metabolic panel. It'll measure how efficiently your kidneys are working if you got stress on them. So I think if you knew those, you'd have like some hard evidence that you could take and say, oh, now I know where I'm out of balance now.
Okay, my A1C, I believe, was 5.9. Or 5.9. Well,
that means essentially you got diabetes.
Okay. And what do I need to do for that?
Well, I don't know exactly what you're eating, but I might recommend that you do what's called intermittent fasting and just have 2 meals a day. And maybe you can skip supper, just eat breakfast and lunch. Emphasize getting plenty of protein. But if you eat grains, you're kind of asking for this to just get worse.
Okay.
I mean, what do you normally eat for breakfast?
Usually, a lot of times I'll skip it, but when I eat breakfast, it's usually eggs. Two eggs with cheese and...
Let me tell you what the latest research says. It says if you skip breakfast, but you drink coffee in place of breakfast, you're setting yourself...
Coffee.
Okay. So there's got to be a simple way to address this. And I think if you had those lab values that I just mentioned to you in front of you, I think it would be self-explanatory. I think all this would... you would be very lucid in that now I know where I'm out of balance. But if your hemoglobin A1C is 5.9, that means you've got a lot of inflammation in your blood. You just do. So
okay.
It may be that you just need to go for 2 walks a day. Maybe 2 20-minute walks is enough to do the job. And then emphasizing protein, but just steering clear of grains and refined carbohydrates and candy and stuff like that, fruit juice.
Okay.
I would say it would be hard to reverse that if you're drinking fruit juice all day long.
Okay, and so I can cut out my sugar.
What would you say is the biggest source of sugar in your diet right now?
Oh, these chocolate balls.
Well, we're going to have to come to terms with that. Now, I don't have any problem with you consuming like a couple of squares of the really dark chocolate that has almost no sugar in it. That'd be fine.
It's the sugar-filled chocolate balls.
Yeah. Well, just eat the dark and get rid of that.
Okay.
But you've got to create the right circumstances. Otherwise, if this, and like I mentioned earlier, I'll mention it one more time. If blood pressure stays up, you're asking for cognitive decline and dementia and Alzheimer's. And I think I know you well enough from talking to you on the phone that you have a great, great value for maintaining mental sharpness and mental clarity and being able to function at a very high level. I mean, don't you have like a really important job where you're looking after the well-being and the needs of other people?
Yes.
Yeah.
And to lower inflammation.
Well, I mean, I don't have your labs in front of me, but you said hemoglobin A1C is 5.9. What are you thinking right now when I say that you're basically a diabetic? What's going through your head?
I need to get rid of those chocolate balls.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can keep asking questions about what to do and what to do, but we got to start somewhere. And I'd say, throw that garbage away. Get rid of it. Stop using it. That'd be a start. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. Enjoy talking to you. Have a great day, buddy. All right, you're listening to KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.